The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It's Tuesday, April 20th. Happy Dog Coin Day, or whatever you celebrate on 420. It's the afternoon, and we're doing running back rankings with Emory Hunt. You can check out wide receiver and tight end rankings in the feed. We will be ripping through more prospect position rankings as the week goes on. A reminder, if you want to see us, if you want to see the energy and the flow of this podcast, you can watch us on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6. Little dirty secret, or not dirty secret, just a secret, I guess, is that sometimes you can get the Pick Six episodes before the audio drops. So if you're itching to watch it, go ahead and subscribe to YouTube and you'll get an alert when a new episode shows up on your video feed. Joining us now to break down running back rankings, I believe with a potentially controversial list based on your appearance on Fantasy Football Today, Emory Hunt. What's up, man?
What's going on, Will, man? Always a pleasure to come and talk shop with you, bro.
Yeah, we got all lathered up about the quarterbacks and Kyle, and the number three overall pick. In fact, you know what's ironic is the reason we got all worked up about it is because we were saying people won't stop talking about the quarterbacks in the draft class. And then we proceeded to talk to each other about the quarterbacks for the next 10 minutes before the podcast. But we're here to talk running backs. And I kind of stunned Emory to see, I don't want to call him my guy, but I'm a big fan of his work, despite him carving up my team on for three touchdowns, I believe, a huge game. Or he and Michael Carter both had huge games against NC State. Javonte Williams, your number 10 overall running back. Why is Javonte so low on your list?
Well, I think a lot of people get enamored with, you know, splash plays, and they're great because it kind of draws attention to what the guy can potentially be. But you watch him over an extended period of time and you see some minor issues within his game. You know, vision for me is number one in how I grade running back. So that is weighted heavily. And I think Williams needs to see the lane before he's able to anticipate it. So I think that's an issue right there, but he has good power, good balance, good burst. I think he's a good back, and don't get me wrong. So I have him with a grade that's probably like the top of the second round type grade.
Okay.
And to be fair, completely transparent, I have the same, I have a half grade. He's a half point behind, the grade I have for Nick Chubb. And the reason why I had Nick Chubb graded that low was I didn't think he was going to regain the burst from the injury. It was so gruesome. I was worried about that. So that knocked him down a peg. And so that's why I had Nick Chubb with a 77.5 grade. I think I have Williams with a 77. And that's partly because, for Chubb, it was the injury. But for Williams, I just think that he's more solid than game changing.
Okay. And reminder, for those that don't know, Emory actually played running back at Louisiana Lafayette. You could, number 20, I can't see the second number. 26?
26.
26, yeah. With, who's on the team? It was Ike Taylor and,
Charles Tillman, Fred Stamps, CFL Hall of Famer, Kyrese Hebert, CFL Hall of Famer, all kind of greats.
You guys did a 30 for 30 on that,
right. Exactly.
Cause Rage and Cajuns team.
It was so many stars, man. And coaching staff that are now coaching in the NFL too, and CFL. So 30 for 30. I'm all for it.
I like it. I like it. And I mean, I think that is some good context there. By the way, you can go to footballgameplan.com/draftguide21.
21 draft guide. This is, I printed one out.
Woo. Look at that. Meaty.
Talk about a beast. That's it right there. That's full scouting reports, guys.
I love it. So go to footballgameplan.com/2021draft guide.
Absolutely.
Right. And purchase that. Make sure and check that out. You have plenty of time ahead of the draft to download that PDF or print it out if you're so inclined, and check out Emery's grades on the entire class. He does incredible work deep diving on it. And like I said, I think it matters too. I mean, you played the position, so you understand. And I think that's kind of interesting to me to see someone who played running back at a, you know, at a high level at college, talking about the position and ranking the players, and then the rankings coming out a little bit differently than the consensus. Because, and this is not to knock, you know, Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg, any of the fantasy guys, but I think a lot of times, you know, the running back rankings get twisted in sort of a groupthink fantasy kind of way. And that can be a little dangerous when you start talking, particularly with the NFL draft, where the valuation of running backs has dipped in terms of what draft capital people are willing to spend. I mean, Najee Harris and Travis Etienne, Etienne, I don't even know if he's a top 10 pick. Najee Harris is like a top 5 pick 15 years ago, right?
Right.
And Etienne is going high in the first round. Now it's, you wonder if one of those guys will be even be in the top 15 or top 20. But let's keep moving through the rankings. You have next up at number 9, Trey Sermon from Ohio State. A guy, I don't know that I watched enough Ohio State. I guess I did, because I've seen plenty of Justin Fields, but watching this guy run, he has some explosive tendencies as well as some power, right?
Yeah, and then the footwork is what I really love. Yeah, I compare this footwork to Amp Lee, like, you know, you remember Amp Lee.
Good footwork.
And just the fact that he was able to make people miss that in the open field, he's able to work himself front side to backside along the line of scrimmage. So it's the footwork combined with the vision, which is why I like Trey Sermon a lot. I just think he's more TJ Yeldon than anything.
Okay.
I thought Yeldon had a good, you know, good footwork, good body lean, always move forward. You rarely saw him lose yards. So I think both Sermon and Williams are best suited to be more sidecar to or in a camp, in a, you know, committee, as opposed to being a lead dog. Although they can be lead dogs, but I think you could maximize their skill set if you pair them with someone else.
Well, that's the thing about Williams too, is that, you know, He wasn't a full time, you know, he and Michael Carter split carries at Carolina. I mean, and that has to be weighted at some point in there. So with your grades on these guys, you mentioned you had, particular grade on Williams. It does seem like these top 10 guys are pretty clustered together. Like there's not, obviously, you know, one is higher than 10, but it doesn't feel like it's a huge separation in that, inside that top 10. Is that fair to say?
That's definitely fair to say. And so when people see 10, they get shocked and not realize when the number value is so much, you know, closer than people expect. Like if you look at, for instance, going back to my 2018 quarterback rankings, I had Lamar Jackson number 1 with a 90 grade. And my number 2 was Sam Darnold with a 79. That's a huge gap, right? But you look at these running backs right now, and the top guy may have, you know, an 82 or whatever, but then you kind of see 77 is 10. So that kind of tells you, all right, there's not that much difference between these guys from 1 to 10.
Yeah, that is very important context, because you know, people see Javonte, well, everyone else has him 3. What are you doing? He can't be 10. It's like, well, he's 10, you know, he's
right.
Look at how he slots out. I mean, he could, you know, if I'm off by a little bit of, you know, or if he tweaks some of this here, all of a sudden he's up at 5 or up at 3. And that's why evaluation and projection is difficult. At number 8, your running back, Josh Johnson, UL Monroe. I will be honest, I don't know a lot about Josh Johnson.
And it's tough for me to give a Warhawk credit, but he is outstanding, man. I love his game. He has good balance, good burst. You don't knock him over. You knock him to the side. His vision and footwork is where it needs to be. You go back and watch him against Florida State in 2019. He had a fantastic game. I'm not holding this season against UL Monroe. They had a lot of COVID issues, a lot of coaching issues, but skill-wise, both he and his teammate Josh Peterson, the tight end, who's Doug Peterson's son, I think that's a good two pro prospects that you're going to see coming out their program. But Johnson's vision, balance, and footwork, it makes him a good all-around back, sort of like how you saw a guy in Josh Jacobs with the Oakland Las Vegas Raiders. Same type of skill set, good vision, good balance, good burst, just a good back overall.
Okay. At number 7, Javian Hawkins out of Louisville, a sophomore who came out, you know, I think it's Louisville's tough because they had, you know, obviously, and he would have been recruited by Bobby Petrino, who then got fired. You know, you get recruited by Bobby Petrino, you're sort of thinking you're going to play in this crazy up-tempo offense and that produces big numbers. Scott Satterfield comes in. They had a great 2019 and then a really, really disappointing 2018 that ended with Satterfield flirting with the South Carolina job, much, much to the chagrin of his players. And you feel like they're, like, again, you know, you talk about UL Monroe and giving him a pass for COVID stuff. That's one of those situations where you sort of have to examine. I mean, he had 1,500 rushing yards in 2019 and a disappointing, I guess. I mean, his yards per carry went up in 2020, but it just felt like Louisville as a whole took a big step back last year.
Yeah, they did. And they had a lot of opportunities to really be in the conversation for a better bowl game, but the defense just kind of let them down and just have inconsistent offense. And I think when you look at Hawkins, for me, he was much more like Kenneth Gainwell coming into the season, I thought. And then I thought this year kind of showcased some top tier ability. So that's why he kind of made the jump, in my opinion, to where he is on my list. I love the speed, the explosiveness, and he's one of these guys that you can see. And I know he got to trademark this Kyle Shanahan offense, but the fact that he uses these backs in the outside zone type way, I think Hawkins in a situation like that would be a home run hitter.
All right. So if you had Javonte Williams top of the second round, I mean, do you think all, is it, how many running backs do you anticipate going in the first round?
One to two.
Okay.
One to two. And that's, you know, the guys we'll talk about later, but, right now.
So like all these dudes that we're talking about are really like day two
picks.
Okay. Cause I think it could end up being a little bit like it was last year where you see, and well, look, the names are pretty obvious. Najee Harris, Travis Etienne. And there's a sneaky one that you've got listed up there, but you know, one of those guys goes in the first round, maybe two. The odds say it's going to be one, but then we saw this last year where it was like a huge run of running backs, Jonathan Taylor, J.K. Dobbins, A.J. Dillon on the back end of that run where teams are willing to spend that second round pick on a running back because it takes the pressure off that player. You know, you don't have to – now all of a sudden it's not a first round pick who has to step in and dominate, and you get more positional value by using that second round pick. I think we could see something similar just because of the skill level of some of these guys.
I would expect all of these guys to be gone by day two.
Okay, by the end of day, so by the end of round three.
Yeah, okay. End of round three, all of these guys in the top 10 should be gone.
Okay, I would assume that includes Khalil Herbert out of Virginia Tech, another ACC guy who I believe transferred from Kansas after Puka Williams appeared, right? Is that correct?
No, he just grad transferred.
Transferred. Okay, that's what it was. All right.
I was at the Boston College game last season in 2018.
That's right.
When he pulled off the upset, and I was like, man, I was all excited. I was like, this guy's going to be my, you know, sneaky power five sleeper. That's rare, right?
Yeah.
But he goes to Virginia Tech, gets more carries and showcase what he was showing in limited opportunities at Kansas. He's an explosive back, game breaker. I think he's a three down player, but also four down if you count special teams. I think that's where his immediate impact can be as a kickoff and punt returner. But as a back, I do feel as though he has a home run hitting capability. And that's the other common theme. It's vision and game breaking ability is what I look for in backs, because we talked about this a little bit, you know, throughout this pod, the fact that the position seems to be pushed down a peg is not like it was once before. So the quicker you could ring that cash register up, the higher your value is, in my opinion. That's why I tend to have a different look for, you know, my top backs as opposed to, you know, everyone else.
For sure. And hey, look, you know, you go to the second round, you don't have to deal with a fifth year option. So that means you're going to get to a next contract, faster than you would if you were a first round pick. So it's not always a bad thing. By the way, Khalil Herbert, interesting because he was, you know, took a second senior year, a grad transfer year, which is not something you typically see a running back do, but he comes into the NFL with just 475 carries. That's a Sunday at the park for like a guy like Derrick Henry. I mean, you know, so, or AJ Dillon, some of these guys that they just fed carries to and they have all this wear and tear on their tires. 475 is not bad at all for over the course of 5 years,
especially when half your runs be, you know, long touchdown runs where they don't touch you. So
sure. Yeah. That always
run sprints out there.
That's right. Yeah. That's not a painful way to do it at all. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, the top five running backs on Emory Hunt's draft board.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
At number five. Coming in, weighing in. Just kidding. Oregon State's Jamar Jefferson.
I like him, man. He reminds me a lot of Kareem Hunt and his weird athleticism and how he's able to see things and get his body in position to get there. Like with the running back, we kind of know our own limitations. He's like, oh, I see the cutback lane, but the way my athleticism is set up, I'm not able to get there, right? But Jamar Jefferson is someone that can definitely see it and get there and also has that element of explosiveness. He is a good weaving type runner. You think in terms of Aaron Jones. That's how I see Jamar Jefferson, just tremendous tailback.
Okay. And a little bit of straight. He's not overly big or anything, but 5'10", 206. I mean, he's got a little bit of bowling. He's got some power to him, right?
Yeah, I think he's ideally at 215, 217, something like that. Everybody wants to drop weight for, their pro day and their combine and stuff like that. But I think he'll traditionally play at about 210, 215, something around that area.
Okay. At number four, an explosive guy. Oh, by the way, I gotta point out, since we're already up to number four, no Chuba Hubbard in here.
No. And the thing with Hubbard is, I think you see this a lot with high school guys coming out now. And this is the philosophy that has changed since I was in high school, right? We ran mostly out the I formation, but now everyone's running out of spread. And so they're running through gaping holes. So if you have Olympic speed, and a hole is there, you're going to score a lot of long touchdowns. But when that hole is closed and you have to make a decision and try to pick and slide your way, some guys can't do it. We saw this with Jonathan Gray when he was at Texas. He was, quote unquote, the greatest high school player to come out of Texas, goes to UT and can't beat out Malcolm Brown because he has to be able to find his vision and find his ways. And that takes time to develop. So I think Hubbard, San Francisco, would be a good spot for him. Outside zone, lane is there, hit it, go.
Okay. All right. I'm a big Chuba Hubbard fan just watching him play, but you're right. I mean, he's not exactly, not like he's a top five running back, for sure. You have at number four, Puka Williams out of Kansas.
Yeah. Puka, phenomenal speed, footwork, agility, crazy, make you miss type ability. And he was running inside at Kansas. So it's not like he's a quote unquote space player that people like to throw on these tags with guys that are under 180 pounds. Now he was running inside like an old Big 12 running back used to do. So I just think that he is someone that you can trust in your offense. Granted, yes, projection wise, somebody's going to take him later and someone's going to try to make him a space guy, but he's going to be an impact player. He's a home run hitter and I love his game. And the fact that you watch him do all those things and understand that on one of his feet, he doesn't have toes because of a childhood accident, it makes what he's doing even more special.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Puka is an explosive, explosive player. I think he is, obviously he's not, size-wise, he's not exactly huge, right? 5'9", 175. So you're not looking at somebody that you're drafting as a feature back. Maybe more of a Nyheim Hines complimentary, a more explosive Hines, maybe.
Right, Rick Cohen, those type guys that that can help you out. And you pair him with, a Javonte Williams or someone like that and have yourself a really good backfield tandem.
Yeah, it feels somebody, I would guess round three for Puka Williams. I know you've got him higher than that in theory, but I would be a little surprised if somebody grabbed him in round two.
Right. And you look at him more initially as a special teams value player too. So you find ways to get him the football in his hands because he can do great things without volume. And that's another element of being a game breaker that makes, you know, guys like him enticing to these teams.
All right. At number three, I think people will be a little surprised. He's my number one. Travis Etienne, your number three running back.
His explosiveness doesn't make sense, man. This guy can get from zero to 100 in an instant and is able to just, you know, explode through a hole and explode past angles, outrun angles to the end zone. I like how he went back and was able to work on his, you know, passing game. That's the element that people wanted to see from him last year that we didn't get to see. So he went back, worked on that, became more of a threat down the field. So he's one of those backs that I would take in the first round, absolutely, because he's a game breaker.
Okay, but he's just your third running back. What are the weaknesses for Etienne? And do you see any value there, Etienne plus 1.6? Because you can have your grade all you want, and you can also recognize as a draft evaluator as a predictor that, you know, teams may – There are teams out there who have ETN at the top of their board. I mean, that's just how the NFL works. There's not a consensus when it comes to this stuff. So, you know, what are weaknesses for ETN that you see? And do you see any value there at plus 160 to be the first guy off the board?
Definitely see value because he has a home run hitting speed. That's the one thing you can't coach. So I'm always going to gamble on speed. Absolutely. Where I see an area of improvement, I think he takes on too much contact. You don't see much wiggle in this game. He's trying to run past everybody. And in the midst of trying to run past everybody, some guys are going to get in the way. So he tries to run through people. There's no 18 or 19 year olds at the NFL level. You can't just keep running through people like that. So you got to learn how to make people miss, be a little bit more judicious in when and where you're going to try to power through some arm tackles. So I think he has to develop a little bit more wiggle to his game, and therefore he could have more sustained success.
Okay, right on. Number two, even a bigger surprise, I think, because it's not the Carolina guy that people expect to see. Michael Carter checking in as your number two running back. Not that people are low on Carter, just that I would say like on a general consensus level, Javonte Williams higher than Carter here. Why do you like Carter so much?
I think about what I just said about Etienne and talk about taking on too much contact. None of that applies to Michael Carter. You can't even touch him. He's legit. Got elite level elusiveness. And that elusiveness is an elite special trait because it's hard to get a handle on him. It's hard to get a good hit on him. It's hard for him to be bottled up because he's able to find a crease or a lane and make positive plays happen. So he's never losing yards. He also has quickness and burst to really be a chunk playmaker at the NFL level. And the vision and footwork and elusiveness just makes him an all-around special player, in my opinion.
All right. And number one, no surprise since we haven't mentioned him yet, Najee Harris out of Alabama. The would be, he was a Heisman finalist, right? Everyone on Alabama was a Heisman finalist.
I believe so.
Yeah. And minus 145 to come off the board first. Probably not too much. I guess there's some value in that. I wouldn't really want to lay that juice there, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if Najee was the first running back. And we've seen certainly teams in the first round that the Miami Dolphins have been buzzed about as a potential landing spot for him or ETN. Same for the Pittsburgh Steelers, although I'm not really buying that smokescreen that Pittsburgh wants a running back in the first round with all these second round guys available. What do you love about Najee? You watch him. Everybody watch him play. I mean, dude is pretty good.
Yeah, he has good all around game, man. You talk, I'm going to list out a couple of backs. You got Matt Forte, you got Deuce McAllister, you got Steven Jackson, you got Le'Veon Bell. You mash them all together, you can find pieces of Najee Harris's game that compares to all of these guys. And all are really good backs. I just like the fact that he has, you know, good body length for a taller back. Normally you see taller backs run tall and run high. Therefore him having a good body lean allows him to be able to shift his weight left to right to be able to make guys miss. So he has good wiggle, good vision. He's a very good downfield threat and receiver, in the passing game. And when people talk about backs catching a football, I think a lot of people get caught up in, oh yeah, he's going to catch screens and swings. No, to me, that's meets expectations. You're supposed to do that. But when I say a guy's a good receiver in the passing game, I'm talking about down the field. You can line him up in the slot. You could have him run receiver routes so he can get himself open. That's where he compares favorably to Le'Veon Bell. So he has complete game, plug-and-play guy from day one. And if you're a team like Miami, the Jets, Pittsburgh, Washington, those are places where I see a big need for a running back.
Okay. When we look at total running backs in the first round, I think the number was Let's see. We only have first running back drafted at William Hill, but I believe I can dig up a total running backs drafted prop on my local site just to sort of get a feel for this. If it'll load up here, let's see. Number of first round players drafted. They've been taking these things off and on because it's because of all the movement. And they do not have running backs. Would you have any interest in taking the number of running backs over under in the first round? Let's say it's, I'll set it at 1.5 and the over is plus 150. Would you have any interest in taking that over?
No. I definitely would go under. Considering how people treat the backfield now, it's, you know, you got a better chance of Davis Mills going in the first round than somebody taking a running back in the first round, which is sad to say because you want talent first. And that's why I mentioned a team like Washington, Pittsburgh, the Jets. The Jets have that late second first round pick. The Dolphins have a later first round pick. Washington is at pick 19. Pittsburgh is at pick 24, I believe. So that's around the sweet spot for Najee Harris's value, in my opinion. He doesn't have that Adrian Peterson type speed or explosiveness. Cause if that was the case, I would push him higher in the first round. So that is the area where I would definitely say you could start to see people entertain a conversation of taking a tailback.
Yeah. And I think too, there's a huge drop off here at, it feels like around 12, maybe the 12th pick or the 13th, depending on how you feel about certain guys like a Micah Parsons, et cetera. And the defensive linemen, obviously the edge guys, but it does feel like at 12, there's this just crater of talent, and that's where it's all mishmashed together. So if you're a team like Washington or a team like Pittsburgh, and you know you're not going to move back up in the second round, and you believe that Travis Etienne is a special running back and that he can dynamically change your offense, I'm not on team, and I'm not dogging running backs, but I'm not on team draft a running back in the first round. I don't think you want to do it. But if you think a guy is a special player and you don't value the other positions around him that much, or the other players at other positions around him, then I think it's okay to take a guy there at the 19th overall pick. Because if Etienne is special or Najee Harris is special and they're a game changer and a game breaker, that's better than like just taking the like Gregory Rousseau because, you know, he's the top guy on people's draft boards. I mean, you should take the best player available. And I think in this draft, with the weaknesses and the red flags and the questions and the concerns about all the defensive linemen, that maybe the drop off at offensive line, wide receivers deep, but it's okay to take a running back there if you believe he's the best player on your board.
That's the part that I'm glad you brought up, because people get it misconstrued and think that, oh, you just saying that to take running backs in the first round. Listen, I'm saying if you're the first round and you need someone that can step in right away and impact your football team, can you score? Can you take the ball away? So if you can score, I'm taking you in the first round. So yes, I'm taking Adrian Peterson. I'm taking Bo Jackson. I'm taking Marcus Allen. I'm not taking Pierre Thomas or David Montgomery in the right, first round. Right. You know, I'm taking guys that can affect the game. If you can affect the game, that's a game breaker, and that's someone that's worthy of a top 32 pick, no matter who it is. So find someone that can impact the game. If you're Orlando Pace, I'm taking you number one overall, because I haven't seen an offensive lineman that runs a four whatever running down the field, blocking guys into the dirt. That's an impact player. I'm not taking someone because they fit a height, weight, speed profile. No, if you have an impact, I'm taking you number one or taking you in the first round. That's a first round pick, in my opinion.
Yeah. And like, that's why I don't get the people dunking on the Kansas City Chiefs for taking Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know, they went back to the Super Bowl. It's not like he cost them the season, and it generally takes till the second year before running backs start to take off in Andy Reid's offense. So I expect bigger things from him this year. And I think that pick may look a little more justified.
And it's funny how when people do redrafts of the previous draft, you see all kind of running backs going in the first round.
That is true too, because it's like, well, he's great. We got to take him in the first round. And it, you know, I mean, yeah, I'm with you 100%. All right. Good running back talk. Emory Hunt, you're the best, man. Thanks for doing this. We will, we're getting closer to draft season. Excellent running back breakdown. Again, make sure you go to footballgameplan.com/2021 draft guide and check out that beast of a draft guide that Emory's got built up. Appreciate it, buddy.
Anytime, man.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.